Well, I do have a few words today, and I thank you for our tech team for getting all creative on us and going to those who are still working on our plan A tech, those who have stepped in to give us a plan B in the midst of this interruption. And things like this happen, don't they? Interruptions, I don't know about you, but I am always irritated by interruptions. I've found that in my life I have a plan that I'd like to try to follow, and when things get in the way, I tend to get irritated. You know, we're living in the midst of a vast social interruption right now, and with that, there are so many who are maybe out of work, and so their routine is thrown off. There are kids who are home from school because the schools are closed. We can't go to the national parks or to the beaches because they are closed. We can't even go out to dinner because the restaurants are closed, and there is just such a sense of difficulty we struggle with because our normal patterns are left completely void of any sense of normalcy because we have been moved into something that is new that we're not familiar with. This interruption jars us, and it makes it difficult for us to kind of get our bearings back. But even if it wasn't a social interruption, as I just get interrupted and I get upset about it, I know I interrupt people. You can ask my wife. I've got a bad habit of stepping in the middle of a sentence and saying something else. But I know that's an irritating habit, and I try to work on that to overcome that. But when people interrupt me or my life gets interrupted, I get upset. I get frustrated. I think we all do that. We all have this way of letting our anger begin to boil because of that interruption, and maybe it comes out later on those who had nothing to do with the interruption, but it still has a way of affecting us and working itself out. And I think we find that when our society around us is interrupted as well. I've heard it said, and I believe it is probably true, that interruptions are to doers what kryptonite is to Superman. Think about that. Because as we get into our track and as we're rolling along and all of a sudden you've got to stop and deal with something else, it takes a while to get back to where you were and keep it moving. And we feel sometimes defeated by that. We feel sometimes overwhelmed by that. Sometimes we feel just like we're in dismay. We want to give up, throw up our hands and say no more because we're just tired of it. Especially when we're under pressure. Maybe we're under time pressure, and all of us understand this. There's this sense of a deadline looming beyond us, and when you get an interruption, when we're under that time pressure, we think, oh, our whole world is going to stop. You know, it's not just me. It's all of us who feel that sense of, what am I going to do when I'm being frustrated because I'm not able to get that deadline met? We're going to look today back at the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. And so if you've got your Bibles, this would be a good time to pick it up and get it close to you. We're going to be looking at a couple of stories of Jesus healing. But in particular, we're going to be looking at one about a man named Jairus who's had a very sick little girl. Jairus was in a spot where he was feeling this deadline pressure as well. And again, not unlike what we feel, because his girl was sick. Now imagine with me, if you can, that there's time pressure here. He doesn't know how long she has to live or if she's even going to survive this, and he has very little hope about what he might do, but he hears there's a healer close by, this guy named Jesus, and so he races to Jesus in hopes of maybe he's able to get Jesus to come with him, to come back to his house in time to heal his little girl. Now, you think about time pressure. I get frustrated when I don't get to the post office in time before they close their doors at 5. Or I get frustrated when someone calls when I'm in the middle of maybe sermon preparation. I'm trying to get my final thought done, and all of a sudden there's a need, and I've got to change focus and go there. But imagine this for Jairus, feeling this sense of deadline pressure. If he doesn't get home in time with the healer, his little girl is going to die. That's pretty big pressure. So I'm going to begin in verse 21 of chapter 5. And again, if you want to read along in your Bibles, please do, but I'll read it here for you. And it says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. When one of the synagogue rulers, a man named Jairus, came and he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. The story is, I think, becoming familiar to us already. There is a sense of pressure that is upon Jairus. There's a sense of desperation that drives him to this Jesus, a man he has probably never met before, but has heard by reputation that he heals. And so what other choice does he have? Let me continue on. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, again, as Mark tells this story, we have already transitioned. We're looking now at this interaction between Jesus and his disciples and this woman who is desperate for healing and has come up from behind him to touch him. But don't lose sight. Don't lose sight of where Jairus is in this story, because we're coming back to his story. Jairus has had this plan that is now beginning to work, and there's this time pressure because his daughter's life is still on the line. And what does Jesus do? He comes with him. Yay. They're walking through the streets. The streets are crowded. They're making their way. Imagine this. And then Jesus stops. If you were Jairus, what would you say? What would you do? If I were Jairus, I would probably yell at that woman, "Leave him alone." If I were Jairus, I might even get frustrated with Jesus. "Come on, you said you would come with me. Tick, 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 the clock is going, come on." We don't know what Jairus does. We don't get his thoughts at this moment, but I can imagine that in the midst of this interruption, he must have felt his life was coming undone. Maybe like you feel in the midst of some of your interruptions. Maybe like some are even feeling now while we're all in this weird shutdown period where everything is so abnormal and we feel things are coming undone. Let me go back to the story. Okay, so Jesus says, "Who touched my clothes?" In verse 31, the disciples answer him and they say, "You see the people crowding around you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" See, the disciples didn't even understand this question because it was impossible to say who touched. Everyone's touching Jesus. They're walking through a crowd. It's like back in the old days. Remember when we used to go to the mall? Yeah. And you're walking through the door and people are walking out and people are bumping into each other and it's kind of crazy. Maybe you've been out on Black Friday and you're standing in lines, or maybe you've been to Costco recently looking for toilet paper. You know the lines, okay? That's what's going on here for Jesus. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, and here the story takes a sad twist. During this time of interruption, folk from Jairus' home come to tell Jairus that your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Overhearing this, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And he did not let anyone follow except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw all the commotion. And with the people crying and wailing loudly, he went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. They mocked him. They said, "What do you know?" After he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and they went to where the child was, and he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha ka'um," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the little girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished, and he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. You know, I'm almost nervous in a setting like this to open up this verse because there is so much going on here for all of us. And I'm going to have to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to work with us to even further this teaching deeper into us, into the individual ways that this passage is going to touch each and every one of us as individuals today. Because maybe you're at that place, like Jairus, where there is an interruption that is just making you crazy. Or maybe you're at like Jairus earlier on, where there's this despair, this gloom that seems to rest upon your life because of things which have happened beyond your control, but they've happened to you. Or maybe you're like this woman who feel a sense of what you have done has caused you somehow to become deemed as unworthy from shame, and so you're not even willing to look to Jesus as your answer, maybe not even look to God to help you through this because that shame is so deep you don't feel you have any place to even come and ask. Any of those places, we can find that the answer here is in the midst of this interruption, in the midst of this encounter, that God wants to reveal himself to us, not for us to feel that somehow he has abandoned us in the midst of this encounter, or abandoned us because of this thing, this malady which has come upon us, but invite us in to see him in the midst of this interruption. Again, imagine Jairus in this as they're walking through the busy streets, hopeful that his daughter now has a chance to finally be made well. And I can imagine if you were Jairus and you were writing the story, you would write a different conclusion because there wouldn't be any stopping of Jesus along the way. Jairus' story would say that Jesus came, he arrives on time, he heals my baby girl, I look good because I'm the one who got the healer, and we all live happily ever after. But that's not Jairus' story. You and I, we have that same way, we have that same idea that this is how I want to write my life story. And I want to have it go through good times, and I want to have it continue on through good times, I want to look good, and we want to live happily ever after. But that's not how life goes for us. That in the midst of our plans for how we want to live our life, we too find that there are interruptions, that things happen, either things that we have done or things that happen to us. And we need to ask that question, in the midst of this interruption, what do I do with this? Can I find God somehow in the midst of this place I find myself? If the story had concluded the way Jairus would have written it, it would have been a good story. But it wouldn't have been a God story. Friends, I think I want to just say that today, that for us, whatever it is, your story, that thing you're walking through, if you're wanting to control it and make it happen your way, it may be a good story, but it's not going to be God's story. Sometimes the road to the conclusion of the story doesn't go the way we want or the way we expect. It's easy for us along that way to get bent out of shape, to get angry with those who get in the way, to get frustrated with the healer who doesn't come through or doesn't seem to be following my lead, to despair when everything seems lost, to allow even sometimes my own guilt or shame or my failure to somehow disqualify me from even seeking after what God would have in his conclusion. But I want to assure you that what we see in this story is that God knows and that Jesus cares. And that whatever it is that we're walking through, there is an invitation to see him in the midst of our interruption and not allow that interruption to somehow take us away. We all need to look for God in what he may reveal to us through these interruptions, through this time, because God may be up to something in the interruption. Not only did Jesus have more than one person to deal with here, but that he had something else that he wanted to reveal to Jairus. The story of this resurrection of this little girl is something that would make this story completely other, revealing the power of God to do what only God can do in the midst of what had been a messy and a difficult circumstance. So for all of us who find ourselves in those messy, difficult, interrupted places, we need to look for what God is up to and what he's revealing to us in the midst of it. You know, I'm so glad I've seen the number of people taking this time, even with the interruptions, to do things, say, with their kids, to get out and enjoy them. I know there's a lot of funny memes out there about how hard life is, and it will be hard because we're not used to this. But I'm seeing people getting out, taking a walk, enjoying their backyard, enjoying the walk around, enjoying their neighbor's flowers, as well as maybe the walk that they're on. Getting out, finding ways to say, in the midst of this time that is unusual to me, where do I see God at work in my midst? Can I trust God to move as he did for Jairus, to move in a way that I can't see the conclusion yet, but maybe God is going to do something new for me, even in this? I want to wrap it up with this, just this thought. Have our worship team come as we prepare to close today. But in this time of interruption, this is what God wants more than anything: to be revealed to you in a new way, to maybe even allow the interruption to break in, so that we might experience more of God in our midst now. Because sometimes when we get into our routine, into our plans, we tend to avoid God or not see him, not notice him, not feel his presence. But maybe it's taught through this time of interruption that we have a new opportunity to see not only him at work in our life, but to find where he wants to move us into the lives of others as well. There's a passage of scripture, I meant to read it earlier today, and I didn't get around to it, but I want to just lift it up and hold it out to you today. It comes out of the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. And it says to me, and I'll read it for all of you, that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Hear it again. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Again, it doesn't say that God causes all things, God does all things, God makes all things happen, but it says that in all things God works for good. So even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of what other interruption you may be struggling with, whether it be concerns over your health or the diagnosis of cancer from your doctor or that for your friend or your family member, this sense of dis-ease because we don't know what's going on with my job or if I'll have a job in the next weeks or months ahead. All these things that come up that make us feel unsettled, we need to hold on to. Even in the midst of these, God is working for good for those who love him. Part of the truth we have that we hold on to is part of the truth that Jairus didn't know, but he began to experience, that even as he waited, God was working for an even greater good if he could trust him to see him to the conclusion. And so I want to just pray over all of us today, and then we'll conclude with this song and call our morning together the blessing that it has been. So Father, we thank you again for your goodness, for this story, for what it means to us to know that you are the one who has the power to heal individuals, power to heal cultures, the power to heal our world, to reach out in ways that we can't even imagine, to find the way to conclusions for our stories that we could not even dream, conclusions to our stories that are better than the plans that we would make, though we think we can make those plans perfect. God, we trust you that your ways are higher than our ways and that your ways are better than our ways. So help us to find the sense of resting in you and experiencing more of you and seeing you at work even in the midst of our interruptions, and continue to do that work of humbly creating us to be little images of you out in the world, even amidst this time of our social distancing. So bless our time as we continue on. And again, thank you, God, for the opportunity to worship together, even from our various places. In Jesus' name, amen.